Last week, I mentioned since Easter, we've really had two themes going. One has been on forgiveness, and the second was on a mantra that I chant for 2013, which is, do your best, depend on God, and have a snowball. In this month of June, I said our theme is going to be on Methodism, which gets everyone very excited. So I just try to give us little tidbits of Methodism. And last week we talked a little bit about grace. And now I want to say something very specific, because people will say, Pastor, what do we believe? And they want to hear it with clarity. So Methodists, we do have clarity on this. We believe in the Christ. That's what we believe in. No, Pastor, can you point to it somewhere? We've got this Bible. Yeah, the Christ is in here. Can you point to it somewhere in this Methodist hymnal? Yes. Can you point to it in the Book of Discipline with all those doctrines and the creeds? Can you point to it? This is what Methodists have to say about that. We believe that the creeds and the doctrines of faith are acceptable expressions of Christian faith. But ultimately, you cannot say in words what cannot be said in words. An encounter with Jesus Christ is your encounter, and it is our encounter as a community. And we believe that the Spirit of Christ is alive today and accessible to us if we seek it. Amen? So Methodist, we believe in Christ. Let us pray. God, thank you for the word. Thank you for the tradition. Thank you for our intellect and our ability to reason. And thank you for our experiences. May they all point us to the risen Christ and to his power to lead us in his ways. We ask this in the name who is known by many names, and let the people say, amen. Amen. A few years ago, we were doing a Bible study on the parables of Jesus, and the great theologian of First Grace, Annelise St. Fard at the time, now she's married, Annelise St. Fard something else, I'm not sure what it is, but Annelise asked this great question. We read the prodigal son. You know the story of the prodigal son? The man had two sons. One ran off and blew everything. He comes back. For some reason, he gets the fatted calf that upsets the older brother. And the father says, everything in my kingdom has always been there for you. Everything is yours. That story. Annelise asked this question. She said, I want to know what happened the next day. That's the question we want to bring to this simple miracle story. What happened the next day? The guy was alive, now he's dead, now the next day comes. What does he do? When I told my wife, I said, yeah, I want to ask the Annelise question. She said, well, what do you think happened? I said, well, you know, he probably quit his job and ran up into the mountains and became a hermit. And she said, why would you say that? I said, because I'm a man. And when something happens to a man that's revelatory, he thinks he needs to quit his job, leave his wife and his children, get a new wardrobe, probably change football teams. He's got to change everything around him but him. Amen? Yeah. I'm sorry, man. I know it hurts sometimes. The question is, what happened the next day? What happened to all the people that witnessed this miracle? Did anything change for them? Did it wake up anything in their life? Well, Luke does not tell us what happened the next day, and so many Bible stories don't tell us. And I want you to know, for me, spiritually, that's God's way of trusting us. To ask you, what happened to you the next day after you encountered the Spirit of the living Christ? Did something change in you? Are you continually open to that power? In the scripture, there are three resurrection stories and Jesus' resurrection story. There's Jairus' daughter. there is Lazarus, and there is this story of the widow's son, a grown man. It's his story. And in none of those stories do we know what happened the next day. Miracles, in the vernacular, is a way of saying God has shown up and it's undeniable. Now, pardon me, but in the more technical sense, miracles are spiritual events. And the word spiritual, if you go back to the Greek and the Latin, it's a beautiful word, numinous. It's almost like light, numinous. And numinous means to be animated by God. When something is animated by God. Being animated by things is not a new idea. We are animated by a whole host of things. Many of you are going to go to work Monday morning, and the person that ticked you off on Friday, you're going to see on Monday, and you are going to be animated, aren't you? If something happened to you 20 years ago, and you see that person 20 years later, you could still be animated by that. We are animated by a whole host of things. I remember, you know, you can't help when you go to a wedding, you start thinking about your own, you know. And I remember 19 years ago, in 9 days, I believe, my wife and I will have been married for 19 years. That means no one has put up with me longer than my wife. But I remember when we got engaged. We were animated with love. And right after we got engaged, about 5 minutes later, I was animated with fear. I walked around for a week feeling like I was being electrocuted. The guys that I played basketball said, "What's wrong with you?" I could hardly speak. I told one guy, I said, "Well, I love this woman, and you know, but I don't know about this marriage thing." He's like, "Oh, just get married. You'll figure it out." I'm like, "Oh, that's not how I work." So then I had to tell my wife, "I love you, but I can't do it." And then she beat the living tarnation out of a pillow. It's the only time I've seen her get violent. Just pillow, boom, boom. It's like, wow, I better be sure about this the next time. So the next time came, we were at a wedding in the French Quarter on a balcony overlooking New Orleans. Who could ask for a better moment? I started to get down on my knees, and she pulled me up and said, "Uh-uh." 4 years later, when we both were animated with love and a little more wisdom, we got married. It is powerful to feel in your body what animates you. It is God's gift to all of us to feel all of that stuff going on and know that there is a competition in your heart to get your attention. There's a competition going on there. And being animated in Christ does not happen accidentally. Miracles are God's gift to you to try to wake up in you again that little light that our children sing and that we all say shines in us. God gives you these miracles and says, "Remember that light? Now what are you going to do about it?" Well, if you've noticed, our Pope, Pope Frank, he's been in the news again. And you know, Pope Frank is just a human being. But isn't that the wonder of it all? He's just a human being. He gets down on the floor and washes little girls' feet when he's not supposed to. And now he's got this big Pope palatial palace, and he has said, "I'm not going to live there. I'm going to live in this Vatican hotel." Pastor, that's not exactly a thatched hut with a dirt floor. I know. Are you living in a thatched hut with a dirt floor? We all want a little more than that, typically. But he's living in this hotel, and this is what that means. It means he doesn't invite guests into his house as he chooses. It means he comes out of the room, and he walks into the dining room like everyone else. And all the ordinary people there, he has breakfast with them, and they have access to them, to him. And no one gets to give him the questions beforehand. It's just a real back and forth conversation. A theologian from Catholic University said, "It seems like the Pope is trying to be like Jesus. Like this is a revelation." Wouldn't it be great if someone came up to you on Monday and it says, Bob, it seems like you are trying to be like Jesus. And you could say, well, you know, actually, I am, because I'm really upset with you right now. But I'm not letting that animate me. The power about life. And this is the most difficult thing I will say today. But the gospel always has an edge to it. Your life adds up. There is always grace and mercy. It's always there. We covered that last week, remember? Even if you go into the depths of hell, nothing can separate us from the love of God revealed in Jesus. But your life does add up. And if you've been living in a certain way, it's going to come more naturally. It turns out that Pope Frank has always lived like this. When he was the cardinal in Argentina, he didn't live in the cardinal's palace. He lived in a little apartment, and he took public transportation back and forth to work. When you live your life in the light of Christ, God will open up all kinds of opportunities that you don't know are coming, like being a pope, like having two children when you were set on having one. God will give you all these gifts. And if you have been living in that light, walking in that light, will feel more natural. But it is only in these first intentions that we make those decisions. So maybe you say, Pastor, I don't know what I do every week that's intentional. There are some things you can easily look at. Go look at your pocketbook. That will tell you something about where your heart is and where your commitment is. Ask your very good friends, your Christian friends who can speak the truth to you in love. Ask them about you. Ask your pastor. Now, here's the good news. I find that most people are more animated by Christ than they realize. Most people are. And they just get beat up by the church or some other place, and they don't know how bright their light is shining. Well, your light, First Grace, is shining bright. And it's a little light, but it's a powerful little light. So what I would invite you to do is to think about this miracle happening to you today, where God has unmistakably let herself be revealed in your presence. And you ask yourself, tomorrow morning, when I'm interacting with all these people I'm going to interact with, how does that affect me? And what does that change? No matter what happened to you yesterday, God woke you up today, and that means you are the miracle. Now, you may have difficulty with that, but I suggest you take Jeremiah Wright's word. If you don't believe that you are a miracle lit up by the light of Christ, drive down to the end of Canal Street where there are three cemeteries and start beeping your horn and you see who gets up all by themselves. You are a miracle, and there is a light in you that is desiring to shine. Take a life in the church and let it shine brighter and brighter. And you will find remarkable things that you are a part of because of your efforts. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the miracle of life. Thank you for the light of Christ. As we move through this week, Lord, let us all remember this word. Let us think of our brothers and sisters who are being tempted to let many other lights shine in their path. God, when there is a harsh word or an action that is animating our spirit, give us pause. Give us the wisdom to discern how to bring the light of Christ wherever we go, whatever station in life we possess. And God, bless us with enough animated foolishness to believe that little old me can make a difference in this big world and in someone else's life. someone who needs to know the miracle of your redeeming and sanctifying presence. Let this light shine through me and through these good people of First Grace. And let the people say, Amen. 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 Give yourself some praise.